Okay, so the last part of Perek Bey's Mishnah Yud Gimel was that it said there, Va'al tihi rasha b'fnei, excuse me, Va'al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmacha. So we said what it meant last time was, don't be a rasha when you are by yourself, which means when you're davening by yourself, make sure you're not being a rasha, you need require a higher level. But then he goes back to the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah. When it says, Al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmacha, what that really means is, don't be a rasha in your own eyes. And the question is, what does it mean not to be a rasha in your own eyes? Okay, so if the Pashup Shad in the Mishnah means, don't be a rasha in your own eyes, what does that mean? So he says two pshatim here, very nice pshatim. One is in the context of tefillah, and one is more general, not necessarily in the context of tefillah. So in the context of tefillah, he says that when a person is davening, it's very easy to appear to the outside as if you're a big tzaddik. You know, you could chuckle away, and you could have a long, you know, you're wrapped up in your tassel and tefillin, and you look all, you know, the real deal. But really, deep down, you're not thinking about the davening. You're not thinking about what the tefillin. You're thinking about everything else under the sun, right? And the mela, everyone else thinks you're davening like a mensch. In the meanwhile, you yourself, no, you're not.
Right? Rabbi, it's like you could read my mind.
Right? Unfortunately, this is fairly common. Even Rav Chaim Vlozhner is saying, talking about it. So he says, that's what it's saying. Al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmacha. Make sure that you're not a rasha, not only how other people perceive it, but as far as tefillah is concerned, it's very important, specifically important, that you should be in your own eyes not a rasha. In other words, make sure that not just to the outsider it looks like you know what you're doing, but that you know you're actually saying the tefillah and understanding it the way you should, and that's part of the kavanah you're supposed to be having. Right, so there's a lot of different comments about that, but how, you know, very often we're not paying attention to our own davening, and that's a problem. Okay, now that's one pshat. Then he says a very, very important another pshat. Al tihi rasha b'fnei atzmacha means don't be a rasha in your own eyes. Because if you are a rasha in your own eyes, what the Yetzer Hara could tell you is, listen, you're pretty much gone already. You're already in the Nun Shari Tumah. You're lost. Hashem doesn't really want to hear from you anymore. Hashem doesn't really care about you anymore. What's one more mitzvah going to help? What's avoiding one avera going to help? Listen, just give up already and dive in. And you're beyond the scope of help at this point. So he says, "V'lo yoyel lechatshuva, v'lo tam ol lerik. Ach asay mashu b'libcha chafed. Just do what you have to do, you know. L'ze amar, no. Al tachzik atzmacha b'rasha kolkach. Don't be a rasha in your own eyes. Meaning to say, don't allow the Yetzer Hara to convince you that you're a rasha. Ki mikol makom yoyel lechatshuva. You're never out of the realm of tshuva." Like it says, Toshav Enosh Ad Daka. So what he's saying over here is that one of the, I said over on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and last year Yom Nerayim, so lots happened since then, but last year Yom Nerayim, I said that the greatest limitations that we have are those that we put on ourselves. In other words, when we've convinced ourselves that we can or cannot do something, then, you know, we can't. There's nothing else that's going to limit you more than what you've limited, than what you decide to limit yourself to. So one of the greatest powers of the HR is to convince us that we're already beyond the scope of help.
I have a Torah, Rabbi.
What?
I remember this Dvar Torah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I think it's about the guy who doesn't do Tikkun Chatzot when he's up already.
Right.
Stay with me that one.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, because that's the one that says that Rapinkus says, you ask someone, why don't they do Tikkun Chatzot? You know, because the Shulchan Aruch says Yar Shemaim should do Tikkun Chatzot. I'm not Yar Shemaim. It's not for me. Yeah? So you have to, we define ourselves by what we will. So this, we don't give ourselves enough credit, and we tend to think that we're too low, whatever. And one of the greatest powers of the Yitzhara is to make the person realize that they can't do it. That's the greatest power of the Yitzhara, to put yourself down in your own eyes and say, nah, you're a Rasha, you're already gone, you're already lost, there's not much more you can do for it. And that's what the Mishnah is saying. Altia Rasha b'fnei atzmecha. And the Rambam says this pshat also in the Pirush Mishnayis, and the way he adds on the Knech very nicely is, because someone who's a Rasha will not be able to assess the severity of his maisa, because he thinks, look, I've already done so many bad averes. This little thing, that's not such a big deal. Right? On my list, and where I'm standing, on my list of, you know, where I am, this is not, you know, this is not from the higher transgressions, you know, where I'm holding. So I said, that's very dangerous. So make sure a person has to always have the proper self-esteem and proper importance for the chashivas of every single one of their actions. And they shouldn't, you know. Now, there was a famous thing with Rabbi Saul Salanter. Rabbi Saul Salanter used to collect money to send kosher food to soldiers in the Russian army. And he would send them kosher food. For the Jewish soldiers in the Russian army. And one time someone said to Rabbi Saul Salanter, he said, I don't understand. You think this is their biggest problem? This is their avera. They're not eating kosher food. They're doing a million other things wrong, averas, these soldiers. And second of all, so you're going to give them 5 meals. And when they're finished those meals, they're going to go back to eating treif. So what's the point? What are you doing? You're not accomplishing anything. So Rabbi Saul Salanter said, if you would know the severity of eating one kazayas, one portion of treif, more than eating 2 portions of treif, you wouldn't ask that question. So Rabbi Saul Salanter would go through the whole effort to raise the money and buy the food and send it to the food and give it to the Jewish soldiers. And he wasn't like making them frob and kirov and doing anything. He was saving them from an avera one time, because tomorrow they're going to eat treif again, because that's what they had to eat. And he held, no, I don't care that they did an aver to yesterday and they're going to do an aver today, but to be matzal him today, that's worth it. So the point that al ti rasha b'fnei atzmacha, don't allow whatever other things you did to throw you down and to give despair and to say, no, Hashem doesn't want to learn or hear from me, Hashem doesn't want to accept my tshuva. A person can never give up hope, and he has to always continue fighting if he need grow. Okay. I just want to make sure we finish the parak. If we have chance, maybe we'll add to that point, but I do want to finish the parak. So let's go to that. Let's go to the next 2 Mishnayos. The Perek Beis Mishnah Yadalet, Rabbi Eliezer Elazar Oimer, have a shakud lilmoy Torah. Shakud means you should be diligent in your learning of Torah. Like there's a book about Rabbi Yashiv called Hashakdan, the diligent one, you know, because he would spend the most of his days learning. So have a shakud lilmoy Torah. Vida, and you should know mashatoshiv la apikiris. You have to know how to respond to an apikiris. Vida lifnei miata omel, and you have to know before whom you are working. Before whom are you toiling? In other words, that before Hashem. V'ne'emon hu bal melachtecha sheishal l'chaschar pul asecha. And your Baal Malacha, the person who hired you, so to speak, the person you're working for, Kodesh Baruch Hu, is trustworthy, that he will pay back everything that you've done. And even though we said in the previous Mishnah that you should not be, in the previous parak, you should not do Avodas Hashem for the purpose of gaining reward. However, you have to realize and have the emuna that Hashem will give you the reward. Now, he says here a very interesting thing. He says, Dalif name mi ata omel is a very, very, very interesting way of saying, you know, that you should know that Hashem, that you really, you're working for Hashem. What is it in the Lashon? Dalif name mi ata omel, before whom you are toiling. So he says, because it's as if you have to realize that when you're sitting there davening, Hashem is like standing right next to you. Like, you know, when you have your son next to you and you're like, okay, look, I want to see you say the words. Daven, I'm gonna watch you. Daven nicely. So he says, Hashem is like that. Lifnei mi ata omel. Hashem's right there waiting to hear. How are you going to daven? I want to hear. No, I'm waiting. Let's go. So he's saying it's not just that, you know, Hashem's there. Hashem's not there. Hashem's here. Hashem is right in front. As a matter of fact, Schwab said one time, unbelievable machshava. Rav Schwab says, you know why we say tefillah, Shemoneh Esrei, silently? Because if you say it loud, you would think that you have to yell to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ears. He says, no, you have to remember, when it's like you're whispering into Hashem's ear. Hashem's ear, Kaviyachol, is sitting right next to you, and you're whispering into his ear to ask him what you need. That's what Rav Schwab used to say. That's the machshava of you know, the saying Shemoneh Esrei quietly. So dalif nei mi ata omel, remember before whom you are omel, means he's right here, but you're in front of him. So that should be a motivator in terms of enhancing your tefillah and your learning as well. Okay. And the last Mishnah, hu haya omer lo yalecha hamelacha ligmar, you cannot complete everything yourself. However, don't think, well, since I can't do everything, this famous Mishnah, but you cannot decide and say, well, I'm not going to do, you know, anything. If you've learned a lot of Torah, you will get a lot of schar. Again, and you will get what you deserve at the end. But the reward that you will get will not necessarily be in this world. It may have to wait till the next world. And that's what he says. And it says here that, I skipped the mission. So Hayom Katzar, the day is short, there's a lot to do, and the workers are lazy, but there's a lot to gain. And the Baal Bayis is waiting. So that's the description of this world, right? It's a short day, a lot to do, everyone's lazy, and you can make a lot of money. And the Baal Bayis is doichik. And Rav Chaim Volozhin explains this, because if you just say there's a lot of money to make, a person can say, fine, I'll take it, I don't need the money. No, Baal Bayis doichik. He hired you. So he's knocking. He wants to, are you there? You're coming? You're performing? There's an expectation as well. So it's not just, you know, the positive end of it, like, okay, you know, I have a choice. You know, no choices. You have to do it. Baal Bayis doichik. He's knocking. But the motivator is that there's schar, there's reward, and that's what we explained in the past, that, you know, how the reward comes. But akoponim, that's the concept as we wrap up the second paragraph, okay? So, okay, in Mitzvah Hashem, we should continue.
Continue on Sunday.
On Sunday, the third paragraph. That's it.
Okay. Thank you,
everyone. Have a good Shabbos, and, you know, good to see